Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it's Friday, last day of May. That's May 31st, and it's one day after the trial. It's over. The trial lasted almost to June 1st, and I recall back weeks ago saying that we might have a verdict by June 1st. So we'll have that. We won't have sentencing, though. The sentencing is set for July 11th. So that's coming up. And we have a lot to talk about with regard to that, too. I know yesterday I had my very good friend Joe on the air. And Joe really brought up a lot of interesting points having to do with the trial and Trump and all the things that I'm concerned about. And none of those points had anything to do with what the Republican Party is saying today. I mean, Joe's point yesterday was civilization has problems. We're in a lot more trouble than anything that is related to Donald Trump. We all knew what Trump was. He's exactly what we thought he was. No big deal. There are other things that we need to be worried and focused on. And okay, there's something to that for sure. Donald Trump isn't everything. Donald Trump isn't our lives for the future indefinitely. For example, you know, in Florida, Aileen Cannon has said that the trial there is put on hold indefinitely. Well, I'm using the word indefinitely in the same way that she is. And that is, you know, looking out as far as you can, Donald Trump isn't everything. He's not all of our lives. He doesn't affect most of what's going to happen to us and our families for decades to come. And essentially, he is nothing more than what I have said for over 8 years, and that is, number one, a loser. I mean, the man's a loser. He's been a loser all his life. You know, Berger talked yesterday about, Joe talked yesterday about the family wealth that was acquired by Donald. And that's true. He got his money from his dad. And whatever it amounts to, people say different numbers and adjust the numbers and all that. It's not important. The important thing is it's the old story about how do you create a small fortune? And the answer is you start with a big fortune and destroy it. And that's what Donald did. And every inch of the way he has done that, everything he has done has failed. There's only one thing that he did that didn't fail, but he didn't do it. Mark Burnett did it. And that is for 10 years, he ran a program. Donald did the on-air part, which that's fine. That was the entertainment. But Mark Burnett created the show and all the spinoffs from the show that were all very successful. Mark Burnett made a lot of money, and Donald Trump made, they say, $500 million off of it, give or take. So, okay, so he did well on that. But here's the thing. He's wiped out all of that. So, you know, here's a guy who can't do anything right. I mean, everything in his life has been destroyed. Now, of course, he currently has destroyed his life in another way. I mean, he finds all these different ways to destroy everything he touches. So in this case, he's got a woman problem. He can't keep his hands to himself. He can't be respectful of anybody, and especially women. 19 women say that he raped them. 19. One was found by a jury to have been raped. Now listen to that again. One of those women went to trial, and the jury found that she had been raped. Now, the judge said this was rape, period. You don't believe it? Go look it up. It's all over Google. You can find it. The judge said rape was proven by the jury. The jury believed it. Okay. Now, it wasn't a criminal trial, so Donald only had to pay $90 million, which, by the way, and this is a perfect example, he started off, he had to pay $5 million. And if he would have walked away and said nothing, that's all he would have paid. $5 million, end of the trial. But you see, he couldn't even do that because he had to keep mouthing off about the woman, calling her names, saying she was a liar, all of the things that cost him $5 million. And then the jury came back, the new jury, and they said, under the law, we can charge you as much as we have to get you to be quiet. And so they raised it now to another $85 million. So that's how he got to the $90 million, because he couldn't be quiet. Now, I guess he's quiet now. I think $90 million quieted him down, but maybe not. Maybe the real answer to that is that there were so many other problems that he was facing that he got diverted. So, for example, he ended up in a case where the state of New York hit him for $500 million. $500 million. So it's a lot more than that other case where he only lost almost $100 million. So then he had to pay that, or at least it's on the table that he would have to pay it. He did have to put up the money, or at least some of the money, because he lied about all of that, if you remember. Because let's not forget, he was supposed to put up a $450 million bond. And he lied to the court, told the court that nobody would give him the $450 million. Well, at least none of the 30 companies that he reached out to, but he didn't tell them that the Knight Specialty Insurance Company was ready to do $450 million. So the state said, well, we'll take $175 million because you can't get it. But then it turned out, according to this guy, you know, Hankey, Don Hankey from Knight, he came out and said, well, I was willing to give it to him, but you guys said only $175 million, so we'll do that. And then there were questions about the money anyway. So that's all another issue. But the point is, it sort of took Donald's focus away from his rape victim. And that is so important. It really is. Because one of the things that we're finding in the polls, and I repeat this over and over, Joe yesterday, he minimized the importance of it, but, you know, women are against Trump in gigantic numbers. Before anything that happened this week, they were against him. So Donald has found ways to even make that worse. Because instead of trying to find some opportunity to dial down his problem with women, he's done the opposite. He's turned it up. Because anybody who tells the women of the United States of America in 2024 that they might not get contraception, like I've said before, I don't care what you think. You know, we could all be against contraception. Could be. But here's the thing. If you tell women that you're against it, as Donald has, you got a problem. He wants to specifically cut it back for poor people, poor women. If you're a poor woman, you can't get contraception. I'm just saying, is that the way to encourage women to vote for you? I mean, I doubt it, but that's certainly what Donald has done, because he just finds ways to destroy himself everywhere he turns. So let's move on to the trial. So Donald ends up in a trial where people say, this is not even a significant problem. Now, of course, when they say it's not significant, what they're really doing is comparing it to all the other problems that Donald has caused himself and us as a country. For example, in Washington, D.C., he gets his people to attack the Capitol. They attack the Capitol, they bust it up, they break windows, they knock down doors. Joe yesterday said that there wasn't enough protection. They didn't have the support to stop those people who were doing this. Well, who was in charge? Who could have gotten that support to the Capitol? And the answer, of course, is the President of the United States. He could have stood up. He could have talked to the governors. He could have talked to anybody. He could have done anything. But he did nothing. In fact, the story that's told by his people in the White House is that he stood in front of the television set laughing. So you wonder why he's in trouble. But here's the point. Here's a trial that has now been put on hold by the Supreme Court. Now, there was a lower court decision that said that no president has immunity from all prosecution because everybody has got to be held responsible under the law. So Donald does not have immunity, according to the D.C. court, which is the second highest court in the country. And every expert says that that court produced a brilliant explanation in their case, in their agreement that he did not have absolute immunity. And what they did is they set the stage for the Supreme Court to come in and do several things. Supreme Court could have said, this was a well-done discussion of the law, and we're going to just leave this alone because we're going to let the D.C. court stand. Or they could have briefed all of this very quickly, like a matter of days, and then they could have made a quick decision which might have said there is some immunity for presidents, but certainly not absolute immunity. And that all could have been worked out in a very short period of time, and the D.C. case would have been on its way. But the Supreme Court didn't want to do that. The Supreme Court wanted to protect Donald in the same way that Aileen Cannon is protecting Donald in Florida. And let's not forget this. Let's not forget that one of the guys on that court happens to be Sam Alito. And this case was directly related to Sam Alito and his wife, whatever she did, really. We don't know. He blames it on her. But they flew their flag upside down in support of the insurrectionists. Now, Sam Alito says, no, it wasn't that at all. She was just fighting with a neighbor. And so she turned that flag upside down. But we know better. I mean, this isn't a court. This isn't beyond a reasonable doubt. This is like, do we know what happened or do we not? The man says his wife did it 3 days before Joe Biden becomes president. Now, give me a break. You think that's an accident? Just a coincidence. She just happened to get in a fight with her neighbor, and she turned the flag upside down in a way that would support the very insurrectionists that were at the heart of this development of Joe Biden becoming the president. Come on. You know better. I know better. We all know better. It wasn't a coincidence at all. And by the way, that has become a huge fight now in the United States Senate, where the Democrats are standing up and saying to John Roberts, the Chief Justice, they're saying, look, we want answers. Why won't you get this man to recuse himself? You know what's been done here. We need action. We need you involved in this. John Roberts, who normally is pretty reasonable on some of these things, he's backed down completely and said, no, I'm not going to do that at all. I'm not going to get involved in this. So he backed totally away from any involvement in the ethics of what was done by Sam Alito. Of course, John Roberts is famous for being an institutionalist, so you or he could say it's a defense of the Supreme Court as an institution so that nobody can actually ask them these questions because they have the right to make their own decisions about what's right and what's wrong, the ethics. And here's the thing. That's the law right now, and that's true. But the Democrats are saying, come on now. We can talk about this. We can look at it. We can think about it. Let's see if there's something we ought to be doing, or maybe not. But we should look. Roberts has said no, and the Democrats have said, well, we're not going to stop there. We're going to go further. Now, you could say, anybody, that the Republicans have investigated Hunter Biden. OMG. What are we talking about? So you could say that that's somehow some kind of an equivalent on the other side, and everybody either has a right to do it or doesn't have a right to do it, or the Democrats are somehow hypocritical, or that, you know, they're not, you know, because they're against the investigation of Hunter Biden and now they want to investigate Sam Alito. I mean, you could say all those things, but you know that this guy flew his flag upside down. You know he lived there. You know he saw the flag. And you know that he understood what it meant. And you could say that, you know, he was standing up for his wife's rights to fight with the neighbor. Okay, come on. There's no fight with a neighbor. This is about the insurrection. And this is about the support that their family has for violence against the capital of the United States. Unbelievable. But that's where we are. So all of that came about because I'm talking about this Washington, D.C. trial, where obviously Alito is helping to block the trial so that Donald Trump can't be brought to justice prior to the election. So there's one. Now, Judge Chutkan is ready to take this case forward at a moment's notice, but no one's giving her the notice. And here we are at the end of May, and we still don't have a result from this immunity case. They are dragging this thing out as far as they can take it. I don't know. I mean, people say there's a rigged case against this one and rigged case against that one, and the election was rigged. Well, there's something going on here. We all know that this case could be disposed of instantly. They've been asked to expedite it, and there was some talk that they might, but they're hardly expediting it. In fact, what they're doing is taking it all the way down to the end. The end would be the end of June. So they've got 4 weeks. I mean, what are they going to do? Come up with something in the third week of June and say that they expedited it 1 week? I mean, this is ridiculous. We all know it is, but that's okay because they have a right to do this. They do. They can get away with this. The Supreme Court can. Now, if we go down to Florida, well, that's a different case. And she does not have the right, Aileen Cannon, to do what she's doing. She has clearly put her thumb on the scale in favor of Donald Trump on every single decision. And then she took this case and said, instead of a May date for the trial, we're going to say the date is postponed indefinitely. What's the purpose of indefinite? I mean, that's forever. Why is it even being done this way? Well, it's because she is taking every single little issue, and I mean tiny ones, that come up before the court, and she's having these lengthy hearings on every single one of them. To the extent that, of course, this trial's on hold indefinitely. This trial won't be taken care of in 10 years the way she's doing it. She doesn't want it to be. She is doing this for Donald. Jack Smith knows that. At some point, Jack Smith's going to do something about it. He's going to go back to the 11th Circuit, which he's already done twice. And he's going to say, you know, this is the third time we need to get her off this case. Apparently, Jack Smith is waiting for his best opportunity. He wants to be sure that when he goes in for the third time, that he gets the same result that he got on the other two. Because the other two, this lady was, and they've used this word every time, excoriated by the 11th Circuit. They've kicked her butt from here to the moon every single time and said, lady, you can't do this. Now, Jack Smith's waiting for his third chance, and he might have also been waiting for the case to be over in New York. Might be. I don't know. It's all possible. But he's going to do it. He's going to take his last attempt to get this removed from Aileen Cannon's hands. Because if that happens, this case could go to trial very quickly. And again, what's the case? Oh, it's important. You know, the first one we talked about, the one in Washington, D.C., that's about an insurrection against the Capitol of the United States. This one is about stealing nuclear documents. Nuclear secrets stolen by Trump, along with all kinds of other very sensitive information, and hidden from the government to the point where when the government came in and said, can you give us our documents, the government was lied to repeatedly. The documents were hidden. Donald tried to destroy them by flooding a room. I mean, all of this went on. It certainly deserves to be considered by a jury in Florida, which is where everything took place. And why isn't it happening? because Aileen Cannon has stopped it. It's not going anywhere. Now, there's a third case. And the third case is in Georgia. Now, the judge in Georgia did everything he could to be fair to both sides. In the end, his comment about what was going on in the case made it clear that he thought that Fannie Willis was in some sense, at some point, lying. I mean, he made that case. He said those words. So the point is, she wasn't getting some kind of a free deal here where she could just do anything. She was being beat up pretty badly by the judge, who eventually said that under the law, remember the law? Under the law, he could not remove her from the case. Then Fannie Willis went out and ran for office and won by a huge margin. So she isn't disappearing anywhere. She's still got that DA's position, and she's going to retain it. So some people are doing everything they can there. Certainly Republicans. The state of Georgia has done all that they can to block her from pursuing this case. And of course, Donald has put everything on hold even further by appealing. It's what he does. He appeals everything. Well, in this case, not unfairly. I mean, under the rules, he has a right to appeal, and they have a right to hold this up a bit longer. A bit. So the appeal will go through, and they'll look at it, and then they'll tell Fannie Willis to go run this case and behave herself, and that's going to be the end of it. But it's going to be a while longer, and it probably will drag this well beyond the election, although knowing Fannie Willis, and I've heard what she has to say, that she intends to push this forward as quickly as she possibly can if given the green light. But so far, no green light. And is the case in Georgia, is it consequential? Well, I would say so, because here Donald Trump is being accused of trying to fake the electors. He was accused of trying to convince the Secretary of State on a phone call that we have all heard to make up numbers that would allow Donald to have won the election. He was trying to rig it. We heard him. We heard him do it on the telephone, on tape. So he tried to rig it. But Raffensperger, Secretary of State, would not go along. And that was the end of that. And Donald lost Georgia by 11,900, whatever it was, votes. And here we are, trying to figure out how to hold this guy accountable for unbelievable election fraud. So there's another case. So you got three cases out there that have not been moved forward. They're not being litigated at all right now because they're all on hold one way or another. Everything's on hold. But here's the problem. The problem is Manhattan. So we'll talk about Manhattan in a minute. Let's sell some things. Let's get some dinner tonight. First of all, Wendy's is a great place to eat. And it's funny because I talked again with Berger the same way I did with Ray Hartman after we got off the air. And Berger is definitely anxious to go have dinner at Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And they have great food. They got wings. And I found out last night that even Berger likes wings. I'm not a wing guy, but burger is. They have smoked meats. They have great hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts, pizza. Lots of great food. Salads. But I can tell you right now, I love baby back ribs. That's my choice. I love them. And I also love onion rings, and they've got great onion rings as well at Wendy's. So what you have to do is really simple. Just hop in your car and go to 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road and order at Wendy's, and you will not be sorry. I promise. And also, if you want to get some Wendy's out in Defiance, you can do that as well. So you can eat it at Wendy's in Chesterfield and then just save some room, then hop in the car and drive out to Defiance, and then you can eat again. So you can get twice the Wendy's on any given night. Anyway, they're great in Defiance, just like they are in Chesterfield. Go check out Ben at Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, we can tell you for sure the best jewelry store in St. Louis, you've got to go to Jewels on Hampton. And that's a 4506 Hampton. And I've said before, they buy and sell coins and jewelry. Good prices, because Al, the owner, is not playing with people. He's going to protect people. He wants to get you a fair price. You go meet him. Go find out. 4506 Hampton, he's excellent. He's honest. He's friendly. So you can do that. Now, if you want jewelry designed for you, they can do that. They can do that on their own in creative ways, because they're very creative designers. Or they can do it your way, whatever you want. You may be a creative designer as well, and they'll take care of that for you. So the bottom line is, Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton, and they will fix your watches. Got an old, valuable watch? They'll fix it. They're really good at it, and they are great people, great jewelers. Jewels on Hampton. Now, finally, I'm going to take you to Clayton, where the St. Louis Suit Company is just one of the greatest places to buy a suit, to buy new clothes. We talked last night about men's clothing and how men, for whatever reason, have sort of given up on suits even. And now their big thing is sport coats. And sport coats and whatever they wear for pants, and, you know, could be all kinds of things, could be jeans. Definitely, it could be chucks, like I wear for shoes, or other kinds of tennis shoe looking shoes, which are all in style and very fashionable. And they can even accommodate you with that at the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Again, it's at Forsyth and Central. They can sell you overcoats for the winter at great prices. They can sell you straw hats for the summer. It's a great store. And if you're either going to a wedding or planning to get married, St. Louis Suit Company is the place to go, because they are our tops when it comes to weddings. They're famous for that. And the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton has been there for 29 years. That's not an accident. So check them out. Jay and Nick and the family, they're all there at the St. Louis Suit Company. Okay. So let's go to Manhattan. So in the first place, you know, it's hard to even know where to start, because there's so much here that was absolutely absurd. But I think I'm going to start with the fact that Donald does not know how to behave himself. And he really doesn't. He's out of control. You know, people say unhinged. I think that's appropriate. I think it's very accurate. Here's a guy who walks into a courtroom where he depends on the judge to be fair. He walks into the courtroom and he immediately starts attacking the judge's family, the judge's daughter, everybody he can think of individually, people that have nothing to do with anything in that courtroom. Friends, people who work for the court, everybody. Donald went nuts on these people. Now, everybody in the courtroom has made the point that Judge Mershon has been incredible in that with all of the attacks, he has restrained himself. He has numerous times warned Donald that he would go to jail, but he just didn't do it. He kept avoiding it. But he tried to convince Donald that he needed to stop or he would go to jail. But Donald wouldn't stop, and he kept attacking people, including the jurors. The jurors. He attacked the jurors. He didn't even know who they are. Saw them. Big deal. Attacked the jurors. Attacked the witnesses. Anybody knows, without a gag order, that you can't intimidate witnesses. It's just not allowed. You don't even have to be told by the court not to do it. You know not to do it. Donald did that. He attacked anybody he could think of. I understand he does it all the time. So what does that have to do with it? Doesn't make it okay. It's against the law. He was breaking the law. But the judge still restrained himself. The judge sustained objections in favor of the defense numerous times throughout the trial. He came down against the prosecutors numerous times in the trial. They would ask for objections and he would overrule it. You know, I'm just telling you, this guy was even-handed. How do you know? Well, you read the transcript. I understand you don't want to read the transcript. Okay, but that doesn't mean you could just run around yelling that he's rigged the trial and he's a fake and he's this and that. You don't. I mean, that you can't do that on the basis that you just don't want to read it. You can't just say, look, there's too much to read. I don't want to know. So I'm just going to say he rigged it. That's not how this works. If you want to know, go read the documents. They're there. No problem. You don't have to listen to somebody else tell you what it says. Go read it. So this guy has come down in every way possible trying to be fair to Donald Trump. Every way possible. He then came to the end of the trial, read jury instructions, and every lawyer, and I mean everyone, that heard the jury instructions at the beginning said, okay, these are pretty standard instructions. I understand. Today, because Donald is screaming that the jury instructions were meant to destroy him, yeah, I understand that that's being said. But again, I'm no expert. I can't read the jury instructions to you. I'm no lawyer. I can't explain to you how this works, but I will tell you this. If you think that it's some kind of a kangaroo court, as they say, then you have an obligation to go check it out, because everybody on all sides in the legal profession say it was fair, and it was done correctly. In fact, more than fair. The problem is, with Donald out here screaming that this was all rigged against him, and that the instructions were set up so that the jury had no choice but to convict him. Well, of course, if you believe that, then you're going to believe something which you have absolutely no basis for believing. You're just listening to a guy who lies every day and who, in fact, was on trial for lying after he was on trial for lying to the state of New York and ended up having to pay them $500 million. Okay, he hasn't paid them yet, but he lost. And now, here it is again. He's always in trouble for lying. Always. $90 million to E. Jean Carroll for lying. He points to Michael Cohen and says Michael Cohen is a liar. And we know that Michael Cohen was hired by Donald to lie. That was the purpose. Now, is Michael reformed? I don't know. And nobody does. You don't know what's in that man's head. But in this trial, everything that Michael Cohen said was corroborated in two ways. First, by documents, and then by Donald's friends. We know that David Pecker corroborated everything from Michael Cohen. We know that Hope Hicks did it as well. And Hope Hicks was so emotional by the whole situation that she broke down crying in the courtroom because she didn't want to tell what she knew about Donald. She didn't want to say it, but she said it because she was under oath. She didn't want to lie. That's what we do in our courtrooms. We don't lie. We tell the truth. Even if we don't want to, we tell the truth. And they did. Now, did Michael tell the truth? Well, according to Hicks and Pecker and other people that were brought to testify, Michael told the truth. But, of course, the defense says that Michael was lying. Also, there were documents that show that Michael was telling the truth because everything in the documents was exactly as Michael described it. So, yeah, you could say Michael's a liar, but it doesn't mean that every word he ever said was a lie, and it doesn't mean that what was said in this court case was a lie because the people on Donald's side corroborated Michael Cohen. It's that simple. They just did. They made it clear that Michael Cohen, in this case, was telling the truth. And the jury believed it. And they believed it beyond a reasonable doubt. These weren't people that were picked up out of the Communist Party to be on the jury. These were people who were picked by both sides. Donald Trump's people had choices, and the prosecution had choices. People that they could throw off, people they could accept. Now, they had choices. So all I'm saying is this. If they had found one person that was reasonable and fair, one, because they had the decisions, they could make the decisions. I'm not saying they could get 12, but they could have gotten one. All they had to do was get one person to listen to that information and to say, this case was rigged, this man is not guilty, and it would have been a hung jury, and it would have been the end of the problem for Donald Trump. But with all of their ability to pick, I'm saying a juror, they actually had more than one that they could pick. But let's say they could only get one that would have been a mistrial, and Donald Trump would have walked away and said, I win. But it didn't happen, because every single person on that jury, a jury of Donald Trump's peers, these are the people who lived in New York, in Manhattan, right alongside Donald Trump. They weren't all billionaires, but they were people. And that's how we run this in our country. We have juries. These juries listen to the facts and they make decisions. And we believe, as a country, that our jury system is incredibly fair, and that you can rely on the decisions that they make. Sometimes human beings could be wrong, but that's not how we work. We don't assume that they're always wrong or that they're ever wrong. We assume that they're right. And then if somebody comes up with evidence to the contrary, then we've got a discussion. But here, there's no evidence. There's not going to be any evidence. Now, you can say there will be, and I'm going to tell you there won't be, and we're going to find out. But we got this far, and I told you from the beginning. You know, other people said, well, this might be an acquittal, might be a hung jury, could be a lot of different things. You got to give the jury a chance to hear everything. Everybody is presumed to be innocent. Well, here's what I said. We are presumed to be innocent under the law. Under the law. But I'm not the law. I'm some guy standing in front of a microphone. I don't have to presume anything. It's not required. I simply looked at what was going on, read everything possible, and I came back and said, this guy's going to be found guilty. And I didn't say it once. I said it for 5 weeks. This guy was going to be found guilty. I've been saying for years that this guy would be found guilty eventually, because he was just on the path. There was no way around it in our system. I understand when he was president, they couldn't get him. But after he was president, after he left, they could get him, and they started, and they got him. Now, I know this is the least consequential case of all of the cases that have been brought against Trump. 4 cases, criminal cases, because he's already lost civil cases to the tune of $600 million. He raped a woman. He lied to banks and insurance companies. I mean, this is the man that some people want to be president. But at any rate, here he is standing in front of the United States of America, having been tried one time, because I explained to you how the other three have been shoved aside. And Donald tried to shove this aside. He did everything. He appealed everywhere he could. But he couldn't get this one stopped. He tried. And so here's the deal. They found that he's guilty. They looked at the evidence. They listened to the instructions. And they said, the man is guilty. In the United States, when a jury of your peers says you're guilty, you're guilty. So it's no longer presumed innocent. Now this man is guilty. And don't say, well, maybe he didn't do it. No, that's not how we do this. This is the United States of America, 240 years. When you're found guilty, they don't say you were found guilty, but maybe you're not. No, then they say you are guilty. That's how it works. That's our system of government, of law. That's how this country has gotten to this place in 240 years. Now, if you want Russia, you can go get Russia. Because believe me, Vladimir's standing out there begging to take over. That doesn't seem like a good idea. But this is the United States of America, and under our system, which was fair as you can be, and listen now, there's an appeal coming. And here's what's going to happen. Telling you this. So just listen to this now. He's not going to win the appeal. He is not. Everything here has been done properly under the law. The one thing you could say is that this is the least consequential case out of all four cases. That's true, because this man has done worse things. He's stolen nuclear secrets. He's not even being charged for what he did with the Russians, which we know was illegal because we read the Mueller report. He's not being charged with what he did with Lavrov and the Russians in the White House, where he showed them documents that had unbelievable consequences right at the beginning of his administration. That, remember, he was in that office with Russian photographers, with Lavrov from Russia, and no Americans were allowed in the room, and he showed them classified documents. It caused chaos in our government. Donald's done this all the way from the very beginning. He lied about COVID. He lied about everything. Everything he could, he lied about. Now he's lying about this case. The case which he lost. In the United States system of justice that held him accountable, and then it's going to go to the courts, and it's going to be found to be a fair trial, and then this guy is going to be both convicted and no more appeals. So then what do you want to do with him? You want to put him in the White House? You want to give him another chance to tear down NATO? You realize the trouble that we've got in Ukraine because of Donald Trump and Michael Johnson, who is running around right now screaming like all these other obsequious fools, Republicans all, major leaders in our country, saying that Donald Trump has been railroaded by a kangaroo court. It's not true. It's not even close to true. So what's happening is that Donald is off and running. He is screaming about the jurors. He's screaming about the witnesses. He's screaming about the judge and the judge's family and everybody else. In other words, he's violating the gag order again. He's still under the gag order. He is violating it again. And do you think the jurors in other trials who haven't even been picked yet aren't watching this and realizing that their lives could be in jeopardy? Because if they go through with the trial and find Donald Trump to be guilty, he's coming after them. It's exactly why there's a gag order in the first place. So look what's going to happen. Donald's going to go July 11th to the sentencing. And everybody, I mean, again, trying to be fair, everybody has said that if you do what Donald Trump did, it's your first offense, you have a very good chance of getting probation. You got a chance. Probably a good chance. Here's the problem. You're not supposed to be violating any more laws. You're not supposed to be doing the same thing that you've already done, which is lying about everything. And you certainly are not supposed to be violating the gag order in the court. What you're supposed to do is this. You're supposed to go into the courtroom, which Michael Cohen did, and I don't care if you think he was lying, but it doesn't matter. You go into the courtroom and you say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done all of this. And I promise you, if you put me on probation, I will never do this again. I will never break the law again. I will be a completely honorable citizen, and you will not have to worry about me once, because I am done with this. I am so sorry. I shouldn't have done any of it. And I'm just, I just have to tell you over and over how sorry I am that I put the state of New York, that the city of Manhattan, the whole country through this mess. I really am sorry. He would get probation. Simple as that. There's no doubt about it. This man would be headed for probation. Here's the problem. He's doing the opposite. He is in there swatting at a hornet's nest. And those hornets are coming to get him. Believe me, they're going to sting the heck out of him. They're not playing. This is not a game. This is the American system of justice. And if you do this, you are violating the law. The prosecutors are going to come in and ask for jail time. And Judge Mershon is going to watch this guy violating the gag order. And he's going to go berserk. But he's not going to do it in a crazy way. He's going to do it in a very measured way. And he's going to put Donald in jail, which is what I've said all along. Donald's going to jail. He's going to go to jail for at least a couple of years or even a year. He's going to jail. He is going to be behind bars. There's some argument that he shouldn't be in jail less than Michael Cohen. So that's 3 years for this guy. But look, he's going to jail. I'm just telling you. Unless the governor of New York pardons him. And that isn't going to happen when Donald is screaming his guts out and violating every order of the court that's possible and breaking the law. He is breaking the law now, right now. I haven't even spent a minute talking about his horrible words that he's now using again against immigrants. Why is he doing that? Well, you know why he's doing that. Because he wants to divert your attention from the fact that he is now a felon. This man has been convicted of 34 felony charges. And you can say, well, it's really only one. Okay, then it's one. That's enough. One felony charge, you go to jail. He's got 34. He'd go to jail for 136 years. But they won't. They'll give him a year or two. And that should be enough. But what he's doing right now in his attacks against immigrants, I mean, it's just what he always does. It's always somebody else. It's never him. He's done everything. He's in trouble for everything. He's the victim. Everybody has victimized Donald. Donald has done none of this. It's all somebody else. It's everybody else is a liar. E. Jean Carroll's a liar. Michael Cohen's a liar. The courts are all liars. Everybody's a liar. Donald, perfect. Do you believe that? Okay. We'll see you next week. Right now, for Wendy's, for the St. Louis Suit Company, for Jules on Hampton, I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.